going to save the idea of mothers and parenthood for this evening, because this morning I already had something on my mind. We're going to talk about Martians and Sasquatch, the Loch Ness Monster, and then even a little bit of faith. And it's going to be based on the reading we had earlier in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. So question, what does a Martian look like? May look like the one on Bugs Bunny, if you're old enough to remember watching Bugs Bunny. I matched it four times. May look like the one on X-Files or the one on Toy Story. I don't know. I've yet to run into one, so really can't tell you what one looks like. What about Sasquatch or Bigfoot? This is the classic image. This is the one that lives on New Cut Road. I saw him yesterday as he was traipsing past the pond. What about the Loch Ness Monster? I know we have one in our worship party this morning that believes heavily in the Loch Ness Monster. So which one's him or her? What about a chupacabra? Personally, that's the one that gives me the willies. I don't deal well with that critter-looking thing. But in truth, it's a silly question. It makes no difference in life and death. If one exists, it's practicing social distancing to such perfection, we may never know what it looks like. So let's shift to a serious question, but it's got that kind of idea behind it. What does faith look like? Most would turn immediately to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 and try to read to me or quote to me, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But here's the thing, I didn't ask what it is. I asked what it looks like. Can I identify faith if I see it? Will I know what it is? Does it have certain characteristics? If I have it in my life, will others be able to see it? Is it going to be something that's more than on the inside? Now the response may be, I don't know what it looks like. And for many, faith is not something you see, that faith is something you feel. For some, it's this idea of everything being internal. For others, it's very personal, or it varies. But I'm going to disagree. I'm going to disagree because I believe Jesus both saw it and recognized it. And if he could, we can. I want to note two verses. The first we've already read, Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. And Jesus seeing their faith. They didn't say a word. They didn't verbalize anything to him. They didn't open up their heads or their chest and allow him to take a look at something internal. And yet it says, after seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Second verse, Matthew 8 and verse 10. When Jesus heard this, heard what? Centurion had said to him, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. So it's something he could see. It's something he could find. It was something he could identify. It was something he could recognize. So what did he see? Go back to the idea of asking questions and trying to find answers. What did he find? What was it that he was able to recognize in the centurion? So let's reread Mark 2. And I want you to watch the action words that pop up steadily prior to Jesus making the statement that he could see their faith, or Mark making the statement that Jesus could see their faith. When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. Many were gathered together, so there was no longer room, not even near the door. The place is jam-packed with people. There's no more access. He's speaking the word to them, and they came, and they are going to be the ones that he sees in just a second, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So what did he see? He saw the exact same thing you saw. Especially if you read with pictures in your mind. He saw four men acting on behalf of another man. He saw four men who were carrying a pallet, who were bringing him physically to Jesus, who were climbing up onto the roof, who were digging a hole in the roof, who were lowering him down in front of Jesus. I follow that. And we'll run back there to Matthew chapter 8. It says, "And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented.' Jesus said, 'I'll come and heal him.' The centurion said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. But you say the word and my servant will be healed.'" So again, what did Jesus see? What did Jesus recognize? He saw a man physically coming to him. He saw a man begging on behalf of somebody else. He saw a man verbalizing his belief. He saw a man trusting that Jesus could do something at a distance. So the point that I want to make early this morning, and then we're going to hammer it home for a little bit, is he saw actions. Actions that allowed him to see, to find, to recognize, to identify faith. So that he knew exactly what that person believed and how much he believed it. So, flip over to Hebrews 11. I want you to see if you can find the same phenomenon. Right after that verse we've already looked at, right after we're told that faith is the substance of things that we're hoping for and the evidence of things that we've not yet seen, the writer tells us what it looks like. Verse 4, "By faith Abel offered." Verse 7, "By faith Noah prepared." Verse 8 through 17, "Abraham obeyed." He was going, he was living, he was dwelling, he was looking, he was offering. Verses 20 and 21, Isaac and Jacob were blessing based on things that were still out in the future. Joseph mentioned the Exodus, and he gave orders as to what to do with him when that time came. Verse 24, Moses refused, Moses chose, Moses left, Moses endured. He kept the Passover, and he passed through the Red Sea. So do you see it? Do you see the same thing that was going on in Mark chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 5? Faith looks like a verb. Faith is an action. Faith is doing. Faith is something that we're wearing out here in the world for everybody to see. So what does it look like? It looks like four men digging a hole when there's no other way, when there's no other option to get to Jesus. Faith looks like David running into battle while everyone else stands still. Faith looks like Peter walking on water while his friends cower in the boat. Faith looks like Joshua leading a parade for 7 days around Jericho when it makes no earthly sense. Faith looks like exhausted fishermen casting a net when the last 50 times resulted in nothing more than a wet net. Faith moves. Faith acts. Faith does. It's alive. It can be seen because it is making itself visible in this world. Faith results in actions, and the appropriate actions then identify the faith. That, I believe with all of my heart, that is what James is saying in James chapter 2. That's what James means when he says faith without works is dead. When he says that faith without works is useless. When he says that faith without works is incapable of saving. So here's the challenge I want to issue. I want us to take this idea that faith is more than an internal belief system. That faith is more than a feeling. That faith is more than something personal or independent. And I want to use it to rethink some of the other passages that I believe we have limited in Scripture. One of those, and we'll do this exercise together so you'll have some idea what I'm wanting you to do. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. We know it. We use it in the plan of salvation. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. But is it possible that we have made these verses too narrow? Is it possible that we have limited them to verbal confession at baptism? Or if someone asks whether or not we are a Christian, whether or not we'll own up to that belief? Watch the context in Matthew chapter 10. Verses 24 through 31. In verse 24, Jesus tells them that you, the servants, are no better than I am, the master. So do the things that I have done. Follow my footsteps. Follow the example I have set for you. Verse 25, he said, I need you to live in such a way that they can identify you as mine. Verse 26, do not be afraid of the world. Verse 27, I've given you a message. I need you to shout it from the rooftop. I whispered it to you in your ear because the world wasn't ready, but now it's time to get it out there. Verse 28, again he says, do not live in fear. Do not live in the shadows. Don't be afraid of what they're going to do to your physical body. Verses 29 through 32, or 31, he says, my Father has your back. When a sparrow drops to the ground, my Father knows it. He's counted the hairs on your head. So now then, the passage that we've limited to baptism, to verbal confession, he said, I need you to go live it. I need you to go live like me. I need you to live in such a way that they can identify you. I need you to live like you're not afraid of this world. I need you to live so that the message is echoing off the mountain. He said, I need you to act your faith and act your confession. Do I believe that Matthew 10, 32 and 33 includes the idea of verbal confession at baptism? Absolutely. Do I believe it extends beyond me coming out of the waters of baptism? Absolutely. I believe it is a lifestyle that confesses Christ Jesus so that He can see and identify my faith, and so can everybody else around me. In fact, that's what He said there in chapter 10. Let the world see. Faith is not this mystical internal belief system. Faith in Scripture is alive and active and visible. Faith digs a hole in the roof to get someone to Jesus. Faith doesn't cut corners. Faith does whatever it takes to get the hole big enough to get somebody to the master. Faith sounds the battle cry when everyone else on the battlefield is silent. Faith gets out of the boat and walks on water. Faith leads a parade for the truth. And why not? Everyone else has his or her parade for whatever reason. Faith leads a parade for God so the world can see. Faith casts its net one more time. And here's the thing. At that point, that's when we start moving mountains. That's when faith accomplishes something. When we bring it alive and we put it out there. Last two thoughts. Number one, it's not just any action. Obedient faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed, and then he went out, and then he sojourned, and then he dwelled, and then he offered. Number two, faith is not blind action. Faith is based on evidence. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Faith is the assurance or substance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. Faith has a reason for what it does, not a feeling. Four men went on a treasure hunt and dug a hole through the roof. Why? On a hunch? No. Because they'd heard. Because they knew what Jesus was capable of doing. David ran into battle, not out of ignorance, not out of excitement, but because he'd already survived the other battles. Peter got out of the boat and went for a walk with Jesus on the water, not because Peter knew how to walk on water, but because Jesus was already doing it. He had the evidence. Joshua marched around Jericho 7 days in a row because God told him to. Faith acts, but it acts when and how God tells it to act. And that comes by hearing, Romans 10 and verse 17. And once we find that faith, once we hear it, we believe it, we confess it, we submit to baptism because of it. We're raised new creatures in Christ Jesus. And now we can live a faith that Jesus can see and that the world can see. If you need to act on your belief system that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need to ask for prayers, if you need to ask for Bible study or even counseling, if you have a spiritual need that we can meet, please use this contact information. Get in touch with us, and we'll be glad to do everything we can for you. Thank you for being here.